Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you so much for just the many blessings in life, the things that you have given us that we don't deserve, and even the ability to sit here and to have life, to have breath is a gift from you and a blessing. So Lord, we trust you with this moment, we trust you with this gathering. We hand it over to you and say we do it only for the honor, the glory, and the praise of your son, Jesus. So may you meet us here as your Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Spirit guide us and drive us in this moment, but also in the moments that we step out of this building and we take on a world that is constantly pulling us down, constantly letting us down, constantly telling us that what we believe is ancient, it's outdated, it's antiquated, it's not relevant for today. But Lord, may you always refresh us and restore us when we take on the issues of this day and remind us that our foundation is in your word and that our identity is in your son and that our purpose is in worshiping and showing others what it means to follow Christ. So Lord, as we represent you, as we preach and we talk and we sing about you and to you, may you be glorified and honored in every step of the way. And I pray, Lord, for any pains, any hurts, any doubts, any fears going on in this room today, any spirit of that kind of evil from Satan, from the father of lies, Lord, we pray that your spirit and your angels will come down and you will remove it and replace it with your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and your faith. Give us more faith today. We pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, John chapter 10, if you found your way there, we're going to get there, but we're going to get there in a little bit of a roundabout way. You know, if you're very familiar with scripture, many of you are, some of you are not, what you'll learn as you spend time in scripture, you'll see this very common metaphor that God's word uses, which is the sheep and the shepherds. We see this all the time, that God is referring to his people as sheep. And then God is referring to pastors, elders, church leaders as shepherds, and referring to, as we'll see, Jesus as shepherd, as the good shepherd, and how God is leading us. It's a really cool metaphor because in some ways, and I know Randy and Sue have talked about this different times. If you read Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want. It's this, that we are finding all of our needs, all of our wants and our needs being fulfilled in our shepherd. But shepherd's a cool concept and sheep is a cool concept, because if you're familiar with sheep, what is it? Like, sheep are kind of dumb, right? Like, if you really think of it, you're like, why does God always compare me to a sheep? They're kind of dumb. Like, you let a sheep just wander away. Like, you gotta baby a sheep. You gotta do everything for a sheep. You gotta make sure that sheep will eat. Make sure that sheep won't walk off the mountain. Like, you've got to make sure that sheep doesn't shove its head in a hole and have no chance, right? I saw a video one time online where this sheep had literally dug his whole way down into a hole, and you could just see his feet, and the farmer was just yanking him up out of there. That sheep was helpless. And it's a perfect illustration of our need for guidance and our need for shepherding, our need for leadership. And where do we find that? So I want you to picture with me as we get started here, picture with me this a field of sheep. I just saw a field of sheep the other day, and they're just sort of roaming about. Maybe you have sheep, maybe you live near sheep, maybe you drive past sheep often. They're just sort of roaming about, but picture with me this pasture of sheep. And around that pasture is a stone wall, like a 4 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot stone wall to kind of keep the sheep in there and keep them protected. But at the front of that, there is an entryway to get into that you would call the gate. There's a gate, but there's not a gate there. It's just an entryway. And through that entryway, many things can get in to the sheep. or even through jumping over the fence, certain things, or over the wall, certain things can get in there and attack the sheep and lie to the sheep and prick the sheep and steal from the sheep and rob the sheep and hurt the sheep. But yet, with a protector, with a shepherd, fulfilling that role of defending the sheep, of fighting off all of the schemes of evil, those sheep can be protected. But you and I, as Christians, live this life where we're trying to, we want to prayerfully, and by God's help and by the Spirit, follow God in faith. But we have constantly have these schemes of the devil, constantly have these lies from Satan, lies from the world. These Ephesians 6 says the schemes of the devil are shooting flaming darts at us to try and pull us down. Because if you've been a Christian, you've been living the Christian life, walking with the Lord, trying to live a holy, righteous, sin-free life by the grace of God, you know that as you do that, somebody or something is trying to pull you down. It's trying to cut you out at the knees. What you need, what we need as sheep, as followers of Christ, is a shepherd who can look out for us. We need the power, we need the strength of the flock, and we need a guide. We need a shepherd, we need a leader. So I want to talk to you today about my title for today is Jesus Shepherds Us Today. Because one of the mistakes that we make sometimes as Christians is we put our hope in people. We put our hope in leaders. For example, the metaphor of sheep and shepherd goes not just to God and Jesus, but goes to the pastor, right? Like, I'm the shepherd of the flock. I'm here to love you, care for you, walk with you in your hurts, make sure that you are safe, here to be available, to lead, and to care, and to guard that gate as best I can. But in order to get around to that, and I want to first, more bigger than that, I want you to see that rather than putting all of your hope and all of your stock in a man, even if that man is me or some other pastor or some other priest or leader of a church, rather than putting your hope in me, there is a better shepherd, a good shepherd, a higher shepherd that all of us can lean on, all of us can trust, all of us can rely on, that will not let us down. So let me show you. I want to take you back to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel, the religious leaders of the day were really letting God down. And the kings of the day were really, really letting God down. And they were acting more like predators, more like self-seekers, more like, what can I get? Rather than, who can I help? Being more selfish. What can I gain rather than what can I give? They were thieves, not caretakers. And God, through prophecy, through Ezekiel, has a message for them and a transition point that we see in Ezekiel chapter 34. So I want to read this for you. I want you to see, this is what happens whenever the shepherds of Israel have turned away from what they're really called to do as shepherds or as religious leaders, and God ain't happy with that. And he changes things, and we see in John chapter 10 the fulfillment of this, right? But so Ezekiel 34, starting start verse 1, then this message came to me from the Lord, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you, shepherds who feed yourselves instead of the flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink milk, you wear wool, you butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You've not taken care of the weak. You have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves. You left the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. This is God coming right out and saying, hey, listen, rather than feeding your sheep, you're taking care of yourselves. Rather than being a caretaker, you're being a thief. You're taking advantage of the system. You're not loving the way that you're to love. You're allowing them to scatter. And when God makes this prophecy, he then takes it a step farther, and I don't have this on the screen, but I want you to see this. The continuation of the prophecy isn't, just listen to what God does all the time, right? Like, God's not just like, smite you, sit down, you're done. Like, God's like, smite you, sit down, oh, hey, here's some grace. Or hey, smite you, sit down, okay, let me show you the way it's meant to be, and let's mend this, right? Like, God isn't a God who says, sit there in your sin and die. He says, no, stand up, son. I love you. I forgive you. I'm going to make a plan to get us out of this mess that you created. Because God loves us that much to look at how ugly and sinful and screwed up we are and say, you know what, man? I'm going to show you the path. I'm going to show you the way to righteousness. I'm going to show you the way to heaven. I'm going to set something up to get you out of this pit. So that's what happens as the prophecy continues. And God says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home. I will take care of this. As God announces to the people of Ezekiel's day, he says, hey, I'm gonna take care of this. I'm gonna fix this. You've put your hope in these men that you ask for. If you're familiar with kind of the history of Israel, they asked for kings. They wanted leaders and kings, just like all the other neighboring nations. And God's like, guys, you don't need that. You've got me. They're like, no, we don't just want you. We want a king. We want a physical king. Give us Saul. Right? They wanted that. And God's like, fine, here you go. And there goes the beginning of unraveling a mess as they begin to put their hope in men that let them down. Men, and if you look over the history, it's king after king, generation after generation of failure as they put their hope in men. And they scatter. And God is on this mission of bringing them back. And God announces here, those shepherds that let you down, those religious leaders that let you down, those kings that let you down, don't put your hope in them. They are men as well. Put your hope in me. I'm gonna take care of this. And it's against this backdrop. This is so cool, right? This is against this backdrop that in John chapter 10, Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Jesus declares himself to be the one who has come to fulfill that prophecy, that he is the one to come to say, I am going to sit at this gate and I am going to protect my sheep. So if you picture again that field, that pasture full of sheep, bunch of dumb Christians just wandering around in an open field. Oh, that looks fun. Yeah. Jesus sitting in that gate, keeping watch by day and by night, prepared to take on the wild beast, prepared to take on the lions and the bears, just like King David did with his sling back in the day, willing to fight for us, protect us, and guide us as we follow him. So what constitutes a sheep? How do we recognize God's people? How do we recognize God's sheep? How do we know you're in the pasture? See, the marks of faith are believe in Jesus, listen to Jesus' voice, and follow Jesus. By how you love and follow Jesus, the marks of a true believer are confession, obedience, and allegiance to Christ. As we seek to know him and follow him more. And it's by those marks that we can look at each other and we can look at ourselves and we can look at the church and say, I'm a sheep, I'm in the pasture. Jesus is my shepherd. Jesus is my protector. So here's the parable of Jesus proclaiming, I am the true shepherd. In John chapter 10, 1 through 5, Jesus says, I tell the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheep field rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. You'll recognize his voice as you listen, as you are a sheep. He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. Jesus knows his sheep. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. As we follow him, as we know him, as we understand that he is our shepherd, that he is our leader, we will understand and we will learn more and more as we go throughout life, as you seek Christ daily. You will get to know his voice. You understand who is your shepherd. Who is the one who is truly in this pasture that is watching over me? Who can help me? Who can help me today over the schemes of the devil? He's trying to pull me down and fight me and take me out and make me ineffective as a Christian. That if he can't keep me out of heaven, he's going to make me ineffective while I'm here. We hear those voices and we're like, that's not Jesus. It's sometimes it's hard to discern, but the more you spend time with your Father, with your shepherd, in prayer, in word, in the word, the more you will understand what are the things that he would say to you and what are the things that an evil spirit would say to you to try and lead you astray. Because there's no reason to be offended by God calling us dumb sheep. I need guidance. I need a leader because those thieves are coming in by stealth and those robbers are coming in by force and they're trying to exploit me. And the people that are hearing this for the first time, they're used to this. They've seen Israel kind of be exploited by their own leaders and they've seen Israel be exploited by the Romans. But Jesus wants us to know that those thieves and robbers, they're jumping over the wall. They're coming in and they're coming in to hurt you. But I am the good shepherd and I come in through the gate and I protect the gate and each night I am guarding the door. And if you know me, you will know that it is me when I call to you from the gate. Say, hey. Don't stress. Don't beat yourself up. Kill the anxiety. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It's going to be okay. I will fight off those wild beasts for you. Just put on the armor of God and trust your good shepherd to take care of you. Because Jesus shepherds us today, because the man, a pastor, a shepherd, a priest, or whoever it may be, your spiritual leader in your life, isn't there 24/7. They're available, but you've got to learn, right? You've got to learn as you grow in your faith to go to your good shepherd. That's the beauty of us having access to God through Jesus. You don't have to go through me or any other man. You have access to the good shepherd because he is your good shepherd. And here is what's awesome about this. So we talk about in Ezekiel how the leaders, the religious leaders and the kings were shepherds who had gone astray and they were self-serving. It's all about me. How do you recognize that someone is truly a good shepherd? Jesus wants us to know that. Jesus, how do I know that someone truly is a good shepherd, that you have my best interest in mind? Because if you think about it, all of these people were totally self-serving in Ezekiel's day. It's all about what can I get? Who can I exploit to get ahead? What can I gain rather than give? They're taking advantage of for their own glorification or their own comfort in life. But Jesus turns it up a notch and shows us what a true shepherd is. And that's why it is so wonderful that we can go to him as our good shepherd, that he is our Lord and Savior. When he says, as he continues on, the Pharisees, they hear him share that little parable that we just read the first five verses of chapter 10. He shares that parable and the Pharisees are like, we don't get it, right? And you know, 9 times out of 10, if you read the Gospels, Jesus is like, hey, think about it, good luck. Argue about it for 2,000 years and I'll get back to you in eternity, right? You'll figure it out. But in this case, it's one of those nice times where Jesus is like, oh, let me tell you a little more, right? Let me explain this to you. Let me walk you through this. And maybe it's happening there because it's a shepherding kind of thing where he's like, all right, I'll help guide you through this. So in verse 7, it says, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. This is one of those places in Scripture where Jesus is letting us know, hey, I am the only way to God. You can't get to heaven without me. I am the door. I am the pathway to get to God. I am the answer to being saved. You can only be saved through me. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Those who are climbing over the wall, they might sell you something pretty, but the truth is at the end of the day, they're only stealing and killing and destroying, but I'm here. When you hear my voice, it is because I want to give you life abundant. I am the good shepherd. Like God said in his prophecy to Ezekiel in chapter 34 in the Old Testament, I am going to be the good shepherd. I am going to take care of you. And Jesus says, hey, it's me. It's me. All these thousands of years later, hey, it's me. And you know what a good shepherd does? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He takes it that far because, you know, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he doesn't care anything about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Talking about the non-Jews, the Gentiles, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now, this is just a beautiful establishment of Jesus saying, hey, I am the good shepherd. I am the one that you can call on. I am the one who can protect you when the thief is coming to steal and kill and destroy, when he's trying to pull you down. And let me tell you, hey, here's the example. All of those guys in the old times and the Old Testament, you know what was happening back then is they were kind of like the hired hand. They didn't have any stock in it. They were just fulfilling a role. They were doing a job. But it's when you actually own the farm, when you actually are the actually possess the herd, the flock, right? Then you take it seriously. Like it matters. Like you're not just, well, I'm here for a season and I'm moving on. So good luck. But Jesus is no. Creator, I am your savior. I love you. I'm with you to the very end. And no matter where you go in this life or the next, I'm with you. And I love you so much that I am going to lay my life down for you by choice. Because go back to that awesome picture of the flock of sheep in a pasture with a 3 or 4 foot stone wall around it with one little gate at the entrance. This passage is telling us that if you hire somebody, a shepherd or a hired hand to stand at that gate, and then a wild beast comes, a lion comes, a bear comes, like a grizzly bear, a Kodiak bear, like big, like mean, angry, like not the bear that's over in the Jagger bushes eating the berries. Like, no, this is the Kodiak bear that comes, like he walked through and you wouldn't know it. Like the concrete floor might be vibrating because this guy is so big and so angry, right? And you're standing, and you got this hired hand standing there at this gate, and he looks at that bear, and he looks at his sheep. He's like, huh, what do I do? Helpless sheep, helpless me, really big bear. What's he do? He turns tail and runs because he's got one chance of survival, and it's, I'm gonna get out of here. Good luck, guys. I hope you can run fast too. Or I hope you're smart enough to run. But Jesus says, I will stand in that gap for you. No matter what. No matter how big the bear is, it doesn't matter if he still has fresh flesh hanging from his teeth. I know that I can stand here for you and protect you. Because I love you. And he said, I want you to know that just like when Jesus knew that the cross was coming, he knew the sacrifice he would have to make for each and every one of us. He knew. He stood in that gate, even though he had every right, he had every opportunity to also turn tail and run. Because God the Father gave him that option. And he chose to sacrifice himself for the flock, for us. And even to this day, every time somebody, a wild beast is coming at you as the flock, as the body of Christ, as a Christian, in the house or outside the house, as they're coming at you, whether they're coming towards the gate or they're trying to shoot those flaming arrows up over the wall, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is doing everything he can to protect you. Don't mean things ain't gonna happen. Don't mean life is gonna be easy. It means I am going to submit it to your power, submit it to your protection, and trust you to guide me. Jesus shepherds us even today. So I encourage you through this word to seek after him this day and every day to trust him to protect you. I'm here. Men and women are here. But ultimately, we know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will definitely stand in the gap and protect you. So lean on him, trust him to do that. He chose to, and he still chooses to every single day. That's the kind of love he has for you, sacrificial love, laying his life down for us. It's a beautiful, beautiful story to know that the Good Shepherd is standing at the gate watching over us every day and every night. So I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. If you'll bow your heads, the worship team is going to come up and close us out today. Altars are always open if anybody feels led to pray alone or together or with a pastor. Father God, I love you. We thank you so much that today we know that no matter what schemes that the devil is throwing at us, whether it's doubts or fears or any kinds of sins that are creeping into our lives, that we keep allowing the devil to get a foothold and hold us back, we know that ultimately you're here to protect us. So Lord, as we pray to seek and to put on your armor, to put on the armor of God so that you can protect us from the schemes of the devil, Lord, we pray that on, and we trust you to stand at the gate and protect us, because any sheep that wanders from the pasture is at risk to go out into the wilderness without the Good Shepherd protecting them. So Lord, may we always remember the importance of being together so that the flock protects the flock and that the Good Shepherd protects the flock. So Lord, we trust you, we love you, we thank you so much for your sacrificial love that we deserve none of it. We praise you, Jesus, in your holy name, amen.